Praise the Lord. Well, it sure is good to see everybody here tonight. I know you came ready and hungry for the Word of God. Amen. Oh, boy. Okay, well, praise the Lord. A few of you, yes. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yeah, well, it's good to see you. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm sure you received the text message here today, so you already know the title. But I'm going to call this message here tonight, Get Your Faith Moving. Get Your Faith Moving. Folks, I know we've had a lot of heavy preaching, you know, around here and at other churches. And, you know, the Lord, I'll tell you what, it's just been amazing. All the things that have been being said, both with, you know, my pastor, Reverend Greer, the Durants when they were in Fredonia, our message, you know, this past, you know, Sunday. I mean, a lot of stuff. And folks, I'll tell you what, like I said a moment ago in the prayer, these are very serious times. They are very serious times. And that doesn't mean all of us, you know, perceive that the same or whatever. And it's not just because, you know, there's wars going on and things. But it's just a serious time. And like we said this past Sunday, demonic activity is at an all-time high. But you know what the good news is? So faith can be at an all-time high. Faith can be at an all-time high. Amen. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to stir your faith. Amen. And we got to remember, folks, we've got to use our faith on a daily basis. And we're going to go over some, you know, basic principles of faith here tonight. And let's get into it. Amen. Go over with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start there in verse 1. We're going to see how far we get in this chapter. Of course, if we're led to go, you know, somewhere else, we'll go somewhere else in the Word. Praise the Lord. But we're going to start right there with Hebrews 11, 1. We know that that's a very familiar scripture to all of us. Faith. Let's remember that we're faith people. Let's remember how to use faith. Let's remember that, folks, it's not, you know, faith isn't just something we use to obtain things. Faith is how we maintain our life, you know, and it is our responsibility to maintain this life of faith. You know, and I know sometimes, you know, faith is a sensational topic to preach on and, you know, it seems fun or active and we say, you know, bold things out of the Word and the promises of God. Praise the Lord for all that. But folks, it is a daily lifestyle. You don't have to feel, you don't have to feel something in order to be in faith. You don't have to feel sensational in order to be in faith. Amen. But I tell you what, now more than ever, because the Bible tells us, of course, like I said, demonic activity is at an all-time high. Therefore, the Bible tells us, therefore resist Satan in the faith. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:9, we've got to resist him. We've got to stay in faith. Folks, it is our job to lay hold of the promises of God. We can't find ourselves depending on the world's economy. We can't just find ourselves, you know, getting comfortable in our lifestyle. We've got to make sure to be operating these things, not just so we receive, but we also maintain what the Lord has for us to do. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 11, and we're going to read the first 3 verses to start. And of course, we're going to go further in the chapter here in just a little bit. Praise God. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it or by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Everyone say good report. I don't know. When I see that scripture, I think of it, you know, personally, I want to have a good report with God. I want to have a good report with God. It says, through faith, in verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, or literally the spoken word of God, so that we understand that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear, or literally, just so you can more easily understand that, everything we see in creation came out of the unseen realm. Everything in creation, whether it's mountains, oceans, elements, you know, everything that you can possibly imagine, it came out of the unseen realm. All the planets, all the galaxies, the solar system, everything you can possibly imagine was spoken out of that unseen realm. See, this is why science gets so confused, right? This is why they get so confused. How many of you know, this is just a little side journey, is that all right? Humor me for just a few moments. This wasn't supposed to be part of my message. but the curiosity seeker in me sometimes brings these things up. How many of you know science, especially when it comes to astrophysics and things like that, they study what? Three main subjects, right? Space, time, and matter, all right? Space, time, and matter. And so when science tries to get their heads around the idea of where our universe came from, okay, the first thing they think of, well, go back in time to the moment of the Big Bang. And they've realized that some point back there, a long, long time ago, there was an explosion. And they've realized by measuring the speed of light across, great expanses, that the universe as we know it is still moving outward. It is still expanding, you know, on a moment-by-moment basis. So they understood that at that moment when there was that explosion, time began. And so as distance as the... Where am I going with this? You're probably wondering. Just bear with me, right? So as all those elements and everything started to move forward, you know, time became possible because you could measure the rate of speed that the universe was expanding and so on, all right? And then matter, well, that's easy for us to understand. How many of you can see and feel lots of matter? So they said, well, at that moment of explosion, okay, matter was created in the dust clouds of space and all this stuff, all right? We won't take too much time with that. So they can go back and they say, well, at that moment, you know, they believe that two atoms were bouncing around in our universe, and all of a sudden there was a collision of two atoms that created the Big Bang. But the one thing they can explain actually is where space comes from. All right, so our question is, well, we know, you know, those two atoms were bouncing around in there. All right, if that was really the case, we know that it wasn't. We know that God just spoke it, right? But they said these atoms were bouncing around and so on. But what a lot of the scientists, what really baffles them, well, where did the big empty space come from? Because empty space is still a thing. You know, they explain, oh, well, matter came from this, time came from the Big Bang, but where did the big empty space come from? Well, the reason why that baffles them is they can't understand that everything, including that big empty space, it was spoken out of an unseen realm. That's what they can't understand, that something that was seen was spoken out of a realm that you and I don't see. Folks, and I'm just going to end the suspense right now. If God's words can speak and create mountains and planets and oceans and solar systems, how much more can God handle your situation? How much smaller, how much easier is it for God's word to set in order the things in your life? Amen. We don't have to be so scared. We don't have to be discouraged. I'm telling you, like I said in the text message here today, stop letting the devil get you discouraged. How about your faith start discouraging the enemy? Because what's going to be very discouraging to him is that if you keep your eyes on the seen realm and things don't seem to be going just the way you want it, but you keep on speaking faith, you don't give up. You keep moving forward. You keep confessing the promises of God. How discouraging is that for the enemy when he tries to point out all the reasons why you should be depressed, all the reasons why something isn't going to turn around for you, but yet you just keep pressing through that fire? Amen. Praise the Lord. Through faith, we understand that the world's everything that we see in creation was framed by the spoken word of God, that the things which are seen didn't come from things that already appeared. They weren't already there. God spoke them out of a realm or the unseen realm of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go back up to verse 1. Go up to verse 1. Let's get into this now. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've spent a lot of time over the years just sitting on Hebrews 11:1. I have studied it. I have rewritten it 100 different ways, you know, in a good way to meditate and to learn from it. I tell you what, no matter how much we keep going back to Hebrews 11:1, there's something in there for us. Now, faith is the substance. Everyone say substance. That's the first word we're going to stop on here tonight. That word substance, it's a very interesting word. It means confidence. It means confidence. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now we could read it this way. Now faith is the confidence. Literally that word means to have confidence in the foundation you're sitting on. All right? How many of you believe that this building is going to stay standing through this service? Right? Right? We believe that. How many of you, you didn't even think of that, you know, before coming to this, you know, service tonight? There's no way, you know, we can feel, of course, right under this very thin carpet, it's pure concrete. You know, and under each of these arches that this building is built on, there's 16 of these arches here, you know, eight of them, 16 halves is what I meant to say. And under each side or under each half, several feet in the ground, there is huge amounts of concrete. Actually, when this building was built, it was actually over-engineered because the county wanted to use it in the event that there was a massive earthquake. They would want to use this building to be, you know, an operations center to help, you know, people. So it was way engineered. The footers, or the concrete footers that are holding up this building, which is only 18,000 square feet, the foundation of it is the same size as the footers of the Washington Street Bridge. All right, and I know you've heard me say that before. But this building, they said if there was ever an 8.0 earthquake in the area, they really believe that this would be one of the few buildings that would still be standing. Praise the Lord. Isn't that nice? Isn't that good? So how many of you have confidence in the foundation here tonight, right? You got confidence, you know. I'll tell you what, if it starts shaking, it'll be the Holy Ghost. It won't be an earthquake. Amen. All right. We didn't even think twice about coming into this building like there'd be a problem with the foundation. We are so at ease, we are so comfortable, we are so confident, we didn't even think twice about it, all right? So faith is the confidence of things hoped for. The word hoped for there, it means joyful expectation. Joyful expectation. So faith is the confidence of the things you're expecting to happen. Things that you are expecting to happen. Notice this in the Word of God, expectation has power. Expectation has power. Whatever you expect to happen has a way of happening. Praise the Lord. All right. Now that can go both positive or negative, right? Praise the Lord. Now faith is the confidence of things we're expecting. Expectation has power. So why not get expectation working for you? Why not get expectation working for you? It is a power that God has put in the heart of every believer, because the Bible tells us over there in Romans 12:1 that he's put a measure of faith inside every one of his people. Every single one of us can get expecting something. Amen. Why is it that we're always drawn towards expecting the worst when honestly, especially for the believer with the Holy Ghost inside, it's just as easy to expect the best. It's just as easy to expect what God said to happen. Amen. Well, the reason why we get drawn to expect the worst is because we're not handling the difference between the seen and the unseen. You know, the devil will take the seen realm. He will take this natural realm and he will try to beat us over the head with it. Try to club us, you know, down with circumstances and try to make us feel like nothing good is happening, or the promises of God are slow in showing up, or there's no power in my life and all this stuff. I tell you what, I've seen a lot of discouragement on the faces of Christians over these last few years. I tell you what, get your faith working. Get your faith working for you. Amen. Get your expectation. You know, go ahead and start, you know, dominating this seen realm with faith. So many Christians, they say, Pastor, I don't see the things of God happening. You know, this isn't working out. This isn't working out. I don't get it. I'm so discouraged. Because you're in the realm of faith. You notice it says that faith is for what you can't see, right? You know, you don't need faith when everything is, you know, looking just the way you want it. You know, it's easy to get dependent upon a good feeling. You just think that, well, everything's going the way I want it. Everything's going in the direction, so I don't need to use faith. But I tell you what, if you're, you know, looking at your circumstances and you feel like, you know, where is it? Why isn't, you know, things processing faster? I'll tell you what, you know, you're in the realm of faith. Folks, don't get discouraged. if things don't seem to be working out for you or in your situation, you're in the realm of faith. All right, you're in a place where faith needs to be applied. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith is the substance, the confidence of things you're expecting, and the evidence of things that you cannot see. Praise the Lord. That word evidence, it means this. It means the reality. The reality. Or this is the way I'm going to say it here tonight because it gets more specific for us. Your level of reality of things you cannot see. All right, let me say that again. Your level of believing that those things are real. All right, let me say this again. The level that you believe that what God said is actually real in your life. Folks, everyone has a different level of where they are perceiving God or what is, you know, truly reality for them. Let me explain this. Praise the Lord. You know, we're gonna get some examples of this, you know, right here in Hebrews chapter 11. Go down there to verse 4. It says this, by faith, now he starts right at the beginning of the Bible. He says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, you know, and by it, he, Abel being dead, yet speaks. And so now the scripture says, by faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain did. What does that mean? To Abel, God was more real to Abel. Amen. God was more real to him, you know, meaning that he had a higher sense of reality of the things that he couldn't see. Folks, I tell you what, we are gonna need to up our sense of what is real in the realm that we do not see. I tell you what, Jesus, your healer, is going to have to become very, very real to you. Jesus, your provider, is going to have to become very, very real to you, right? Not saying that he's not, but I'm just using these as examples. Jesus, your protector, is going to have to become very, very real. See, what fear is then all of a sudden, God isn't as real to us as he should be. Worry is just the evidence that God isn't very real to us at that moment. Do you know what I'm saying? There is evidence. Everyone say evidence. There is evidence that proves what you and I are expecting. The evidence shows up in three main ways. Are you ready? It shows up in our actions. It shows up in our words, and it shows up in our countenance. Our actions, our words, and our countenance will prove how real God is to us. Now, we've all, folks, don't take this, you know, to the extremes and say, see, I'm supposed to never again have a feeling of weakness. I'm never again, you know, gonna have a down day or whatever. Or if I didn't act exactly in faith, then, you know, someone's thinking worse of me. That's not what I'm saying. But folks, what I am saying is that it does show up on our lives when we have expectation, you know, whether good or bad. What you are saying is your expectation for what you believe is real in your future. What you are saying or what you're not saying, if we, you know, if we say the wrong things or say nothing at all in terms of faith, then I'll tell you what, then we aren't putting expectation to work for us. You know, our words, our actions, and our countenance will determine, amen, how real God is in our life. When you see somebody, you know, if the first reaction to losing a job or a doctor told you something that you didn't want to hear or some kind of test or trial, if our first reaction is to panic and worry, somewhere along the line, God has slipped away, meaning we have allowed our relationship with the Lord to slip in a way where we don't feel he's as real to us as he was in other times. Faith is what makes God very, very real in your life. Amen. Faith is what makes God real. Now, you say, well, what do you mean? I'm talking about that sense of reality. Folks, do you believe Jesus is coming again?
Yes.
We don't just believe it, we know it. Folks, I don't know about you, but it feels like that day is getting so close. It's tangible. It's almost like we can taste it. It's like it is right upon us. Praise God. And there's so many people that are unaware of that and they don't like to hear that. Well, folks, if you're in fellowship with God, if you're spending time with God, right? You're going to get that sense of his reality all around you and within you. Amen. So you could say verse one like this. Now, faith is the confidence of the things you're expecting and your level of how real these things are to you. Amen. Abel, see the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain just gave whatever he had, you know, remember Cain just had the fruit of the ground. And he said, here's an offering, God, here, just take that. But Abel brought his best. He gave his best for God. Why? He had more of an eternal mindset. God was more real to Abel. You know, Abel, you know, God was so real in his heart. He had never seen God, right? He didn't even have the Bible in those days. But to Abel, God was so, so real and close to him in his heart. Do you know what I mean by that? Amen. I look at many of you and I can tell that God is very, very real in your life, meaning that your faith just, you know, draws close. You have evidence that proves what you're expecting. Amen. And look at verse 2. It says, for by it, by this confidence, by this evidence of faith, the elders obtained a good report. The greatest people in God's history are the people that operate in faith. Amen. Are you here tonight? I'm not trying to preach something sensational at all. I'm trying to just bring something very simple, very practical. And remember, we're calling this faith and healing because it's time. We got to get our faith moving again. I see a lot of Christians spinning their wheels. Well, I'll tell you what, get your faith moving. Amen. The greatest people of God were confident expectors. Folks, if you're in a place where it just feels like, you know, maybe you're down, maybe you're tried, you're tested, maybe you haven't been walking, in your faith like you should, or you feel like, you know, it's just tests and trials are bogging you down or just a difficult thing, whatever it is, right? Folks, get back to the Word. Get back to the point where you're fellowshipping just you and him and stay there until the point where you come out of that time knowing and expecting what God's gonna do in your life. Amen. If we're just sitting around hoping, see, a lot of times, you know, the human definition of hope just means, well, it might happen, it might not happen, but I would prefer that it did. That is not the God kind of hope. The God kind of hope is joyful expectation and the confidence that these things are going to come to pass. Amen. I'll just use an example. It shall come to pass. 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full. You know, you could, you know, use that same confession over your home, over your life. You know, if you're having needs or, you know, there's a financial crisis, how about this? But my God shall supply all of my needs by his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the Lord said something to me when I was in Missouri, you know, this past week, and I was just sitting in service and it just kind of came, you know, and I'm not going to go into all the details. I can't share everything. But the Lord said concerning a certain, you know, goal of this church, certain, you know, vision, certain things that this church needs to accomplish and all this stuff. The Lord just said, and it was so odd how he said it. He said, you will have all, you have everything you need regarding things pertaining to the church ministry. And I'm kind of paraphrasing it because I can't go into, you know, detail. But when he said it to me, he said it, hey, this is what you're supposed to be saying. This is what you're supposed to be saying. Folks, what are you saying to get your expectation working for you? Because I tell you what, Christians have been real beat down, real hit hard, you know, a lot of discouragement and all this stuff going on. I can't say, you know, there's a ton of that here, but we're not, you know, completely immune from it, right? This world has been just, you know, getting tougher and tougher on believers. I see a lot of Christians struggling with certain things. You're going to have to get your words moving. Your pastor can't get your words moving for you. God himself isn't going to get your words moving for you. Amen. If you are not getting your faith moving for you, God won't do it. The church won't do it. Your spouse won't do it. You can't live on the faith of your spouse. Thank God for a faithful spouse. You know what I mean? You know, the faith of your pastor is not going to, you know, get everything done in your life. We know that. Praise the Lord. You know, you can't depend on others to, you know, just, you know, get you by in life. Folks, you're going to have to use your words on that thing. You're struggling with a health issue. Get your words on it. Go into that place where you get, you know, so locked in with God's word and you come out and you know that you know that you know what God's done for you. Nothing's going to get you to lose it. You feel that faith kind of all of a sudden kind of drift away from it. Get right back in again. Amen. Folks, the just will live by faith. It is our responsibility. God's not going to maintain your life for you. Are you here tonight? The snow isn't making you slow, is it? Oh, praise the Lord. The greatest people in God's history were people that just, they had a vision of God's reality. They could look into the unseen realm and see and know all that God was going to do for them. You know what I mean? What I mean by that, they would look into the realm of faith and they knew God was going to meet their needs. The whole chapter here in chapter 11 is all about it. Go down to verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you know we only have 2 or 3 verses in the entire Bible about Enoch? And every one of those verses say one of 2 things. They say he walked with God and he pleased God. And the scripture here, and of course you can go to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. You can read about Enoch over there. But remember, he was walking with God and he just stepped over. He never even died. He's one of 2 individuals mentioned in the scripture that never saw natural death, Elijah being the other one, right? But Enoch won't be one of the 2 witnesses, just so you know. We'll throw that in on the side note there in Revelation chapter 11. But we know this, that he was walking with God so closely. God was so real to him by faith. He was so real to him that he literally just went right over. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. How does that happen? I don't know. But the scripture says, by faith, he was fellowshipping and walking with God on a daily basis to the point where God was so real that that realm became more real to Enoch than what he saw on this earth. How awesome is that? Folks, if Enoch could, you know, back in the days of Genesis, without the Bible, without a local church, without the blood of Jesus, without the filling of the Spirit, if he could walk with God to such a point that God was so real to him that he just stayed in that realm, how much more can the Spirit-filled, blood-bought believer in these days walk with God, fellowship with God in faith, having complete joyful expectation of what God's going to do in our lives? Amen. Glory to God. If you've got a physical condition that you need to work on, get your faith working on that. Amen. How do you do that? Go and find some verses that, you know, speak to your situation and get speaking them. Get meditating on them. You know, mutter them back to yourself. You know, build them into your heart. Amen. Get in that time of fellowship. Tell God what his word says. Get up. Do you know what I mean when you get up out of prayer and you just feel like a bulldog? You just feel like nothing is going to stop you? Amen. Are you here tonight?
Yes.
If I've got to be the only wound up person in this room, I'll be it. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, it says Enoch, he translated over by faith. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And verse 6 is still talking about Enoch and that you know, faith that pleases God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's the action that Enoch had that proved his faith. He just kept going back to God. Just kept going back to God. He was a diligent believer. You know, he didn't just pray once a week. He didn't pray once a month. He didn't worship God on Sundays only, right? He just kept going back with God. Smith Wigglesworth, he said this. He said, when I pray, I don't pray more than 15 minutes at a time. He said, but I don't go more than 15 minutes without praying. He was walking with God. Amen. You know, praise the Lord. And so what was Enoch doing by faith? What was the proof in Enoch's life that he was fully confident of God's reality? He just kept fellowshipping with God. For Abel, the action was his giving. He proved, you know, how real God was in his life by what he gave. He gave his absolute best. Amen. I don't know about you. I believe in giving the best. I believe in putting God first. Amen. Glory to God. Enoch, his action was that he just kept walking and fellowshipping with God and pleasing God. Amen. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, Noah moved with fear, meaning reverence. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Isn't that interesting? Why does it say Noah condemned the world? Isn't that something? It means that he was the only one found that believed that what God said was so real that he's going to start building a ship. Amen. You know, in Noah's life, it didn't matter how much he was criticized. It did not matter, you know, how much, you know, people mocked him. And remember all the people walking by, they thought Noah was crazy. But I tell you what, God was real to him. God was real to him. He was warned of God. What God said to Noah meant so much to him, he got acting on it. Amen. Your actions, your words, and your countenance is the evidence of what you believe. It is the confidence of what you joyfully expect to happen. Folks, you can walk in and you can spend time with God and come out joyfully expecting all your needs are met. You can come out joyfully expecting all your debt is paid. You can come out joyfully expecting any sickness or illness in your body has got to go. You could come out, you know, fully expecting, you know, help for your children, the restoration of your marriage, whatever it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go back to Mark 11. Let's go over here. You know what? Go to Proverbs too. Go to Proverbs. I wasn't planning on going here. Go over to Proverbs. Glory to God. Chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18:21. It's been a little while since I've preached on this verse. It's time to get it going again. Everything in creation came out of the unseen realm, all because God used faith, all because God spoke it 10 different times in Genesis chapter 1. God said, God said, God said. By faith, we know that everything in creation came from the unseen. Folks, that means that whatever your situation is, there is an answer and a solution in that unseen realm. You're going to have to reach into that unseen realm and pull your answers into this realm. Amen. There comes a point. See, a pastor can only teach you these principles. After that, you've got to do the reaching. You've got to do the reaching. You've got to reach into that unseen realm. And I'll tell you what, more and more, there's going to be a temptation to just look at the scene, you know, to start walking by sight, you know, to start looking at everything around you, feeling like, you know, you're not satisfied, things aren't happening for you. I tell you what, you better reach into that unseen realm. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, you better reach into the unseen realm for your spouse. You better reach into your unseen realm for your kids. Amen. You know what I mean by that? Your spouse needs you using your faith for them. There should be something you're saying over your spouse every single day. There should be things that you're saying over your kids every single day. There should be things that you're saying about your church every single day. Amen. Proverbs 18:21. See, all of a sudden, these principles that we started, you know, to learn and that have carried us so far in life. See, the Bible history, going all the way back to the children of Israel, the history of God's people is to, you know, learn God's deliverance, to operate in those principles, see great results, and then when they get comfortable, start fading away from the principles that gave them that life. Wow. Folks, don't fade back from the principle of faith. Amen. Proverbs 18:21, many of you know it. Death and life are in the what? Power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the what? The fruit thereof. Your tongue, your words produces fruit, whether good or bad. See, when we see the word fruit, we don't think of it like people in those days. You know, obviously, we still eat fruit and we have crops and all that today. But back in those days, if you had a crop failure or if something didn't go right in your vineyard, your family was going to greatly, greatly struggle. And so in those days in Israel, in the days of Solomon and all that, I mean, if somebody had a failure in their vineyard, if no fruit grew on the vine that year, they could lose everything they had in just one bad season. See, nowadays we have, you know, modern technology and, you know, people can eat and all this stuff and we don't really think of it. But in those days, you know, the fruit in their vineyard, whatever they could grow, it was everything to their life. And now the scripture is letting you know, listen, you know, that life, you know, is found in the words of your mouth. That if you don't use the tongue properly, you can go without, you know. And so this is just one more scripture in the word that tells you, if you want to see a change, if you want to see a harvest, if you want to see something grow in your life, you're going to have to jumpstart that faith. You're going to have to jumpstart the speaking, jumpstart the talking. Are you here tonight? Yes. Praise the Lord. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can speak death if you want. You know, and where that comes from, speaking death, meaning, you know, speaking destruction and ruin and worry and panic and fear, all that comes from is a time of looking at the seen realm for too long. If you sit around and just look at your natural circumstances for too long, you're going to feel the destruction. You're going to see the destruction. You're going to start speaking the wrong things. Folks, we got to get into the manual of the unseen realm and we got to start speaking some things. Amen. That's why, you know, I quote this scripture every service. These words are life to those that find them. My son, attend unto my words. Let your eyes not pass from my sayings, for they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. You know, and of course, we're going to be focusing on this, you know, on Wednesday nights. You know, faith and healing, because again, it's a topic that Christians, and if we're not careful, you know, it happens right here at Family Church, people start to drift from the principles that made their life what it is now in a good way. Amen. Death and life. Go to Proverbs 13. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, Pastor, this just seems simple. This seems like something we learned over a decade ago. That's right. We got to get back to it. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13 and verse 2. These are not on my notes now. We're just going through this, showing you what faith looks like. Praise the Lord. a man shall what? Eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Again, you know, a reference to eating good because in those days, if you messed up your harvest, if you messed up your vineyard, one bad season and you're not eating good and your family's starving and bad things would happen. You know, and the scripture's trying to let us know, just like you get seed in the ground in your vineyard, he said, you need to get seed in the ground for your future with the words that you speak. Did you get a hold of that? Just like a farmer plants seeds in the ground for his future, your words need to be spoken for your future. Praise the Lord. If you're running a business, I'll tell you what, if you're leading a business, you should be speaking over it every single day. You know, as a leader of this church, I speak over it every single day. As a leader of my home and my family, I speak over that home and that family every single day. Amen. Absolutely right. Glory to God. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Verse 3, he that keeps his mouth or guards his words guards his life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Folks, we're only experiencing more or less what we've been saying, what we've been expecting, right? Let's start expecting, you know, if we need to see a change of scenery around us in our life, we need to start expecting some different things. Amen. Glory to God. It says, he that guards his mouth guards his life, but he that opens wide his lips, or he that speaks foolishly or is undisciplined with his words, shall have what? Destruction. You know, someone, you know, that is always expecting to get sick, someone that's always expecting to be broke, that's always expecting to be depressed, guess what you're gonna be? Sick, broke, and depressed. You're gonna have to turn the tide. And sometimes Christians, they get so stuck in that rut of, you know, the complaining of it or the sadness of it or the depression of it. All of a sudden, all their spiritual momentum has come to a ceasing halt. And you're gonna have to get your words, you're gonna have to go to God, you're gonna have to go to his word, and you're gonna need to start speaking things, and get that momentum going again. Because when it comes to a halt, you know, when we've allowed our life and our circumstances and everything we're looking at in the seeing realm, we've allowed it to, you know, obsess in our minds and overcome our thought life, and all of a sudden our spiritual life comes to a grinding halt, where it feels like nothing's moving, nothing's happening, it's gonna take great effort again to get that ball rolling, so to speak. And the way you do it is with your words. With your words, because if you can expect why people get so negative and they expect to be broke, they expect nothing to change. Listen, I tell you what, your kids that are wayward, I know, you know, I'm not even thinking of anybody, you know, specifically right now, but if your kids are grown and they're wayward from Christ, they need somebody somewhere expecting something different for them. Amen. Say, well, I just don't expect anything to change. Well, guess what? Nothing's gonna change. Well, I've just been broke like this my whole life. My parents were broke and my grandparents were broke. That's just how it is. We just always barely get by. If that's your expectation, guess what? Expectation can work for you, but it also can work against you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. People, you know, they say, oh, you know, if you're single and you need to meet somebody, you need to start using your words for the right person to come into your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's say it again. He that guards his mouth guards his life, right? A man shall eat good by the fruit of his lips. So many things we think that it's either God doing this or the devil doing that. No. A lot of times it's our own words that are creating these things. Folks, I'm not trying to blame anybody for their circumstances. I'm not trying to make it look harsh. But if the only thing we're doing is speaking doubt and depression and destruction, and if that's what you're living, that's what's coming out of your mouth, that's what you're gonna have. Folks, I love you. I'm trying to help you. Amen, folks. We've all been there. We've all kind of let our faith slip at times. Get it going. Get your faith moving again. Praise the Lord. See, this is what frustrates the enemy. When in the enemy's mind, you should be speaking nothing but doubt and fear, but yet you just keep on speaking God's word, how frustrated that must get him. How the devil must be like, what are they looking at? Don't they see how they're, you know, nothing good is happening in their life? Don't they see their circumstances? Don't they see the debt that they're in or the problems that they're having? Don't they see that? But you just keep on speaking faith. See, then the enemy gets frustrated. The enemy gets frustrated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go to Mark 11 now. Hallelujah. Get it going. Say, well, I don't know, this didn't happen. Who cares if it didn't happen? Doesn't mean that it can't still happen. Oh, I'm never gonna have something good. Nothing good ever is gonna happen for me. So-and-so did this. Well, guess what? So-and-so doesn't control your future. You do. It isn't the words of someone else's mouth that controls your future. It's the words coming out of your mouth that control your future. Amen. Praise the Lord. What did I tell you? Mark 11. You know where we're going with this. We're going to look at this, and then we're going to go to some other scriptures that are just stirring in my heart. Again, I'm just going to keep on preaching until this starts breaking free in your life. All of a sudden, you're going to have a revelation here tonight and say, man, you know what? I've let my words slack. I've let my words go. All of a sudden, I'm not speaking the right things. I'm not pulling from the word of God. I'm not going to God with his word and confessing his word. Mark 11, 23. We know the faith verse, right? Jesus said, for verily I say unto you. Now, of course, go up to verse 22. You can't leave out verse 22. Of course, Jesus had cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree died, dried up from the roots, and the disciples were amazed by it, and Jesus simply responded in verse 22. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He says, here's what faith in God looks like. Verse 23, he says, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain. Listen, there's a lot of people talking about their mountains. You're not supposed to be talking about them. You're supposed to be talking to them. He says, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Notice God isn't going to move the mountain for you. So many times we're asking God to do something without us doing some speaking at it. Amen. Amen. Whose job is it to move the mountain? Whose job is it to move that mountain? It's not God's job. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the church's job. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, things that you see in your heart, things that you want to see come to pass. You know, it's okay to have some desires in this life. And I don't mean just, you know, selfish financial stuff. I mean, we have godly desires that God puts in our heart, right? Amen. The scripture tells us that he gives us the desires of our heart. Now, what is that? Psalm 34? That's Psalm 37-ish over there. Is 37? Psalm 37, it mentions that. It says, God gives us the desires of our heart. We think that that means God gives us what we want. No, it tells us what he gave us. He gave us the desires that are in your heart. All of a sudden, something will just be in your heart. You know, you feel like you're supposed to do something. You know, there's a desire in your heart to accomplish something. There's a desire to, you know, whatever it is, business. It could be, you know, things with kids, children, whatever it is. Or, you know, you'll get a desire in your heart. That comes from God. And obviously, those desires are going to need to be given some life. And you're going to create those desires through your words. He says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, you believe that you received them. If you look it up in the Greek, that word receive is actually past tense. Believe that you received them, then you shall have them. Folks, I believe there's a lot of Christians that are starting to walk away from this principle of receiving and getting it in prayer. You know what I mean? Getting to that place where you got it in prayer, you received it, and you got everything you need there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he says, then you shall have it. Glory to God. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. There was believers that once had lists of things that they were saying every day, and they started putting it down. I'll tell you what, if you've got a health issue in your life, start speaking to your body. Start speaking to your body. Start speaking the word of God to your body. The Bible says his words. Let me show you. Hold your place there in James 3. Is it all right if we just get into the word here tonight? Scripture just starts coming up in my heart. I knew this would happen. Go to Proverbs. Let's see, where is that verse? I hear it in my heart. 16. Proverbs 16. Hallelujah. Look at this. Proverbs 16:23. This scripture started just playing on the inside of me. I'll admit, I haven't looked at this verse in a long time. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise. How many of you want to be wise? The heart of the wise shall what? Teach his mouth and add learning to his lips. That's talking about what you speak. All right. If you want to live with God's wisdom in this life, you're going to have to train yourself to say the right things, because your future depends on it. Your kids' future depends on it. Your life with God, the promises of God depend on it. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So now you're going to start understanding, you know, what these great people of faith did in Hebrews chapter 11. They were walking with God, speaking these things, declaring these things, standing on the promises of God, standing on what God, you know, said to them. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Look at verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the what? Bones. Sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Whose words, of course, always starting with God's word, but what is it talking about here? Your words. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet and peace to the mind and health to your body. You know, you're going to have to talk to your body. You're going to have to speak to your body. Are you here tonight? Boy, there's another scripture. Go over to chapter 15. Well, you didn't realize this. All these verses were in here about what we say. Get your faith moving with your actions, with your words, and with your countenance. You can tell people who've been speaking wrong. It shows up on their face. They're worried. They're tormented. We shouldn't be living a tormented life. They're nervous about what the doctor told them. They're scared about, you know, what financial things they learned. Folks, we're not supposed to be moved by these things. Look at it. Let's start in. There's a verse here. Start in verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. There you go, all you married folks. The words of your mouth will determine what's going on in your marriage or any relationship, right? Even friendships. Relationships in the church, a soft answer. Soft answer. But grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge correctly, aright. But the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Isn't that interesting how he says that? He's right in the middle of talking about the words that we speak. And then he says, the Lord is looking upon the evil and the good. Well, he's looking upon what people say, both good and evil. He's still talking about speaking. Look at verse 4. This is the verse that started playing in my heart. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So your words either produce health in your body or a breach in your spirit. Boy, it matters what we say. Now, this is the part that started playing in my heart just a moment ago. Can you bring it up in the Amplified? See, the Amplified translates what a tree of life means in the scripture. See, the Bible tells us in several different places. You could go over and read in Ezekiel 47 about the trees of life that were by the river there. A gentle tongue with what? Its healing power. Its gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. I believe it not only, don't you think that the right words, of course, we know that they're strength to the bones, that, you know, the right words will bring health to our body. But I believe it can also heal other things as well. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life to a marriage. Yes. Amen. Is a tree of life to any relationship. Is a tree of life to a hurting business. Right? Whatever it needs to be restored, the Bible says a gentle tongue. Folks, I'm saying this here tonight with such an impression in my heart that I know that there may be several people here, maybe somebody, you know, watching by live stream. We're on that camera back there. You know, there's somebody that's watching by live stream or somebody sitting in here. You've been just dealing with nonstop assault in your body. And also there are people that are dealing with nonstop assaults in your mind. Do you know, the mind will respond to your words just as quick as your body will. Amen. But there's people that have been going through nonstop assaults in their physical body. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you've got to get your faith moving on that thing. You got to get your faith moving on that thing. You know, the laying on of hands can go only so far. Your faith can outpace the laying on of hands. Actually, it comes to a point for a believer that if you've been around long enough, God will expect you to start using your faith. Get your faith moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go to James chapter 3 now. Praise the Lord. Watch this. Go to James chapter 3 and verse 2. We're getting ready to finish this up right here. Get your faith moving. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. A man shall eat good by the words of his mouth. He that guards his mouth or his words guards his life. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to your soul and health to your bones. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, I just keep seeing, you know, somebody just plagued nonstop. And so many times, you know, we feel like we're not getting answers. Well, I'm telling you, get your word. Get your words flowing. Get your words moving that thing. So, well, it just seems immovable. Well, a mountain always seems immovable. So, oh, you don't know how depressed I am. You don't know the struggles. Get your words moving. James 3:2. It says, for in many things we offend all. That means there's many ways we mess up. Thank you, God. That makes me feel a lot better. Telling me what I already knew, right? For in many ways, many things we offend all, right? If any man offends not in word, meaning the words that he speaks, if any man offends not in his words, the same is a perfect person, and able also to bridle the whole what? Body. Wow. Your words will also stand up against temptations. I am so glad I got a hold of this when I was addicted to alcohol. I didn't even realize I was getting a hold of this truth. But I just started realizing I had to start speaking something different. Amen. Praise the Lord. The answer out of addictions is the words that you speak. Now, of course, the Bible isn't talking about that it's possible for us never to make a mistake. He just said, in many things, we make mistakes. He said, but if any man will control his words, the same person is a perfect man or perfect person. The word perfect there means mature, fully grown. It doesn't mean you're perfect like we think of in that sense. It means the same is a mature person and able to bridle or control their whole body. Amen. Amen. Folks, this is how someone gets free from pornography. This is how someone gets free from addiction. Whatever the body wants to do that is wrong, your tongue, your words can control that. Look at the next verse. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. You ever seen a horse with a bit in their mouth? I've ridden horses, and every time I've ridden a horse, I want to get off that thing. See, I've got that. Now, I've ridden motorcycles a long, long way, and I used to do all that. You know, one summer I rode a motorcycle 12,000 miles. One time I rode a motorcycle to Boston, Massachusetts, and then I rode it to Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and spent a lot of time on that. And I would just prefer a motorcycle because I'm the only brain on that thing, right? I want to be the only brain on that device. That's why I truly believe that when we come back with Christ, there'll be those on white horses, and others will be on, like, see, there's white Mustangs too, because Mustang is a horse, but it's also a vehicle, right? I'll rather just be on the vehicle. Or a Harley Davidson or something like that. Praise the Lord. All right? You can control the whole body. We put bits in the horse's mouth. They obey us. What is a bit in a horse's mouth? What does that thing do? It steers them. I heard someone say that. That's exactly right. You steer that horse, right? You give it a little tug on the right rein, that horse goes that way. Sometimes they don't. See, that's the thing I didn't like. Be like, hey. Anyway, it always spooked me out to be sitting on like a 1,500-pound animal. I don't know. I just never felt right about it. Never felt right about it. I mean, I'd get stuck on there. When I was a little kid, my mom tried to make us all horseback riders and stuff. I was like, I wasn't having it. She even bought me one of those little helmets, those little equestrian helmets with that little black tuft on the top. I'm like, I'm not wearing that thing. But then someone showed me a motorcycle helmet. I'm like, yeah, I'll wear that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We put bits in the horses' mouths to steer them and direct them. If you need your life to go in a different direction or something in your life to go a different direction, you need to put words to it. You need to hook up your words to it. Look at it. He says here, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned around with a very small helm. Boy, that is a truth. He's talking about the rudder of a ship is so small compared to the rest of that ship. You know, I was into that. I was a captain and had a license to do that and all that. It says, wheresoever the captain wants. Look at verse 5. Even so the tongue is like the rudder of the ship or the bit in the horse's mouth. If you need to go a different direction, your words have to precede that direction. If you need your body to go a different direction, start speaking to that body. If you need your finances to start going a different direction, you're going to need to start speaking to that thing. Amen. If you need your marriage to start going a different direction, you better start speaking that. If there's something you need your spouse to get a hold of, maybe you should start, speaking that to the Lord privately instead of just demanding that of them personally. Amen. Amen. Let the Lord put that in their heart, but your words will get that thing in motion. Amen. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. It's talking about a great fire can start by one little spark. Now that can be good or that can be bad. Look at this, verse 6. And the tongue or the words that we speak is a fire. It is a fire. Now that, again, that could be good or bad. Now he's going to give us the negative side of it. A world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members or our rest of our body that it can defile the whole body and it can set on fire the course of nature and it is set on fire of hell. Wow. But remember, he already gave us the good side of it too. So literally your words are gonna set the course for your life. Amen. If you need to, you know, take control of your body, you're gonna need to start speaking that. If you need to take control of your mind, you know, in terms of peace and joy, you're gonna have to start speaking that. If you're facing temptations or addictions, you're gonna need to break that with the power of your words. God is not getting off the throne to come down and just, you know, miraculously just break that habit in your life. You're gonna have to speak something. Are you getting a hold of this here tonight? Amen. We're gonna eat the fruit of our words. The words of our mouth, they are the answer to, you know, everything we're going through, everything we face. And folks, we cannot drift back in this principle. We cannot drift back where all of a sudden it's like, you know, we start to tail away from the principles that brought us this far. Yes. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get ready. Let's just seek the Lord here for a moment. And then we'll be dismissed. Father God, we just praise you and worship you. Father, you said that pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to our bones. Lord, you said that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Lord, you said that he that guards his words guards his life. You said that a man shall eat good by the words of his lips. Lord, you said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Father, we thank you that words in our mouth are like a bit in a horse's mouth. It sets the course. It is like the helm in a ship. And I guess the only question is, where do we want to go? Where do we want to go? Well, that's going to be dependent upon our words. Father, we know that your word said it tonight. We can offend in many ways. We can make mistakes in many different things. But if we'll control our words, we'll be able to control our entire body. We'll have control over temptation, control over the fear that tries to enter our minds. Thank you, Lord God. Faith is a substance. Faith is the confidence of the things that we don't see in your realm, Lord, that we know that are real. Father, you have healing for us, so we reach into your unseen realm and we grab hold of it by faith. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. And so many other things that you've promised us and things that are available to us, we reach into that realm of faith and we grab hold with our words. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Worship you, Lord God. Let's just worship him for a moment. Worship you, Father. Worship you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Father, this is the confidence in the things that we expect. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. The things that we expect have a tendency to come to pass. So, Father, we're going to put our expectation on some things. Father, we need to put our expectation on those lost loved ones. Meaning, in prayer and by faith, Father, we believe for them to come to the Lord. We'll love them and we'll speak to them and we'll be a good example to them. Father, I just keep seeing someone who just keeps going around that same old mountain with things that are harming their body. It's time to get our faith moving. Father, we're not trying to blame anybody for anything. We all go through tests and trials. Lord, we know that we just get our faith moving on that. Through our actions, our words, and our countenance. Father, as we draw near to you, your reality becomes so real and close to us Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, we just, you're the provider, the healer, the protector. We lack no good thing. Still in an attitude of prayer. Go ahead, keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I want to read this verse to you. I can quote it, but I'm being led to just read it right off the page for all of us. It is something that we're very familiar with. It is 1 Peter 1:7. And I tell you what, this speaks to several that are in here tonight, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that your faith would be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Eyes closed, heads bowed. There are those that are in here tonight and you feel like you're in the fire. You feel like you're in a time of test and trial, where it just feels like, you know, you're walking that thing out. And this is the point that we're getting at. And the Lord is getting over to you right now. You keep using your faith. You keep speaking your faith, even though that looks like that fire still persists. Even it looks like nothing's changing. You just keep on speaking that and walking that out. It is very well pleasing to the Father that even though your feet might be walking through fire, you keep your faith flowing. Even though you feel pressed and you feel crushed, you keep your faith flowing. And that's what pleases the Father. That pleases Him. And that faith will take you out of that fiery trial. Things will change. The course will change. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The Lord sees and knows what you're going through. The Lord sees this time of life that you're in. Keep using your faith. Keep speaking your faith. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Keep expecting. Glory to God. Keep reaching into the unseen and grab hold of those promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I think we all can say that there's times when we know that we speak the wrong things. But Lord, we're just reminded here tonight to clean that up. Clean it up. Clean it up and get your faith moving. Get your expectation on the right things. Get your words speaking. Glory to God. Father, we just love you. We praise you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Glory be to God. 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 Let's just worship Him. Father, we glorify you tonight. We praise you here tonight. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. This is our answer. This is our answer. Oh, we're just waiting for somebody to just come and pick it up and take it away for us. Father, our words got to get moving these things. That mountain is being very stubborn. We're just going to speak to it. And we're just going to keep on expecting that thing to get up and be cast into the sea. Father, we thank you. We thank you. For if you've created all these things by simply your words, how much more can it simply move upon our lives? How small our situation is compared to the rest of all of creation. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We're not stuck. We're not in a rut. We're not in some kind of prison. We're not held by any of these things. We're not in bondage. Father, you said to whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. So, Lord, you gave us our homework assignment here tonight. You gave us our homework assignment. What are we gonna say? What fruit do we want? What harvest do we want to grow in our lives? It's dependent upon our words. If we have a choice between speaking death and life, Father, we choose to speak life. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. And now, Lord God, we know that your word says that if we've been taught the oracles of God, we know that we should be givers. So, Father, we're going to receive our offering tonight. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you for our help. Thank you for our homework assignment. Lord, I don't think it would be out of place to say we all can find places in our life where we've put down our faith. I think we all can find things and issues and where we've just let our faith get lazy, our words get lazy or wrong. And Father, we know that if we're speaking the wrong, if we're not training our mouths to speak life, then Lord, then we're obviously setting ourselves up to fail. Father, we just bless you and glorify you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Lord, as we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. It produces. We love to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Did you get some help here tonight? Did you get some help here tonight? I'll tell you what, you know, we did get our help. Folks, this is our answer. You know, let's make sure not to let these principles slip back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being here tonight. The offering is just about taken up. We love you. God bless you. You are dismissed.